morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 509-727-8977, or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. You can also like and subscribe our YouTube channel so you're notified when we post the show on YouTube, and you can finally see what John McKay looks like or what hat he is wearing this week, more importantly.
Yes.
So, John, once again, I always like to thank you for hosting and keeping us on track. How's everything going over there for you?
Well, we finally got through the last of our leftover Thanksgiving food.
Yes, I think I heard on the radio somewhere. I'm glad you're telling me that, because I think you were only supposed to keep that stuff for 5 days.
Yeah, we got rid of it within, you know. But we had our Thanksgiving on Saturday.
Ah, so you got a few extra weekdays in there.
Because that's the only time we can get all the adult kids and our 10 grandkids together.
Oh my gosh, that is amazing. That is a gaggle of grandkids over there. For sure. Kenmore team pie?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, it was the bomb. People picked up the apple and they go, "What is this thing? Got a brick in it?"
I love
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah, that apple pie was like 6 inches tall.
Cyrus O'Leary's coming through for us.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was awesome. It was great seeing you out at the event. Thank you for stopping by there.
Yeah.
Well, before we jump into today's topic, we always like to start with our crazy celebrity house. And this week, a piece of history with an estate coming on the market. Cartoonist Charles Schulz's former home in Northern California is on the market now for $3.2 million. Mm. So it was actually occupied by the Peanuts creator from the mid-1960s to the early 70s. And then stayed in his estate for like 20 years after his death. But he had bought, at the height of his career, he had bought a 20-acre property outside of Sonoma County. So you can only imagine how amazing. Then it's this beautiful mid-century modern home that what's left of it on 9 acres, 6-bedroom, 6.5-bath, 2-car garage, 4-car carport, almost 7,000 square feet, like I said, on the 9 acres, with beautiful, beautiful maintained grounds. It looks like an artist lived at this house and then could take inspiration from the surroundings. So if you got an extra $3.2 million lying around, here's a potential Christmas present for you.
Oh, yeah.
So, John, this time of year, I always like to kind of delve into what I call strategic planning or goal setting. So for our companies, for our three different companies that we're operating, we just finished up our round of goal setting for our agents, strategic planning for the companies. What are some of the targets and what they call like KPIs, key performance indicators, that we're going after in 2025? And so when we do that project, I always kind of like to relate it to someone looking to accomplish something in 2025. And if you haven't done that for your company, or you don't operate on a system that does that, I always like to take some time and go over, what does goal setting look like in those instances? How do we do it? And then hopes you could apply it towards your real estate goals, or also towards what you're trying to do in your life. So, John, I'm going to take you back to a Harvard business study.
Okay.
That is talked about in the realms of the internet as folklore. And I've never been able to see an actual published study that has the Harvard logo on it. But you can find tons of references to this study.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a study done back in the early 1900s. And they said at graduation, at Harvard's graduation, they surveyed the students, and they found that 84% of the class had set no goals at all.
Ooh.
Which was kind of shocking for an institution like that at that point. 13% of the class had set written goals, but had no concrete plans or action steps to follow those up. And 3% of the class had both written goals and concrete plans to go along with those goals.
Okay.
So they went back 10 years later
and checked
in and said, how are these graduates doing? Well, if you can guess, 13% of the class that had set written goals but created no plans, that 13% were making income wise twice as much money as the 84% that had set no goals at all.
Wow.
So like, yeah, doubled their income level. But here's the kicker. The 3% of the class that had both written goals and a plan, that 3% were making 10 times as much money as the rest of the 97% of the class. And so, you know, a lot of people use this or reference this study to kind of talk about, you know, goal setting and kind of show the importance of goal setting and, you know, having a plan. A lot of times people will say, well, you know, you're not going to get to where you're going if you don't know where you're going in the first place. You know, and you hear people reference those and sayings like that. And so whether or not this story can be corroborated. I messed these words up, McKay. Okay.
Corroborated.
Trust me, I've not been in the eggnog. I promise. It's too early.
Spell thesaurus.
I will not do that. But there are a lot of other studies out there since then that have been done and that are documented. So one of those studies that I refer back to a lot of times when I'm talking to people and talking to agents and other business owners is a study that was done by a company called Statistic Brain. And they analyzed New Year's goals. That's right. We're talking early here, but New Year's resolutions are going to be coming up. And this study, when they look at it, had very, very similar type of results. So their study says that 45% of Americans usually make goals. 17% of Americans say they infrequently make goals. They don't do it very often, but occasionally will. And then 38% say they never make goals. So almost 40% of the population saying that they never make goals. Another interesting statistic that came from that study was that only 71% of people that did make goals or New Year's resolutions, as you want to call them, 71% of people made it past 2 weeks.
Okay.
Which I actually thought was higher than I was expecting.
Yeah. Kind of sounds like the gym.
Exactly. The time not to go to the gym is the first 2 weeks of January. It's almost annoying, right, John? You've told me that before. I know you avoid it those 2 weeks.
Well, I just go a little earlier in the morning.
Yep. You still beat them there. Well, you don't have to worry because after 1 month, only 64% of people made it past 1 month. And then if you look longer at past 6 months, only 46% people did. So what does this infer? Well, 25% of people didn't even make it through their first 2 weeks.
Wow.
And then out of all of these people, only 8% actually achieved their goals. So if we're talking about 300 and some odd million people in America, and if 62% of them either usually or infrequently make those resolutions, we're talking about 186 million making them, and then 171 million giving up on them.
Ooh.
So there's got to be some common ground here on What are the differences for those that stuck to it and that went ahead and made it? And one of the biggest things that they come back to in almost every single case is that it was written down and then there was an action plan put with it. So those are some of the key things that come up. A written down and then an action plan put with it. And then the next level of this is that the majority of people that are willing to take those two actions are also what we call generally very accountable people.
Mm-hmm.
So then if they share that written action plan with 2 to 3 people in their circle of influence, it adds a level of accountability to that. And that's when we see people have very, very high levels of execution with these goals. The next thing that I run into with people a lot of times is they say, well, what should I be goal setting around, or what categories do we work around? And so we use 5 categories when we're doing our business planning and talking to people about this. So the first category is probably the hardest one that people have. And that is what we call personal, mental, and spiritual. And so that can be a less defined category, right? So when I'm working with people and doing goal setting and agents across the country, and I coach some other agents as well, a lot of times they'll come back to me with the 5 categories, and this one will be empty. And they'll be like, well, what am I going to put in this category? But just some examples that we have people do. Sometimes people will say, they will go to yoga, and they'll say, hey, that's spiritual to them. Like they're getting a time frame there. Or sometimes people will say, well, Lance, how am I going to measure spiritual? And I'll push back to people and say, well, depending upon your beliefs, like, do you always go to church, you know, 3 out of 4 weekends? And they'll be like, well, no, I don't, especially during football season. No, but they'll say something, and I'll say, okay, well, can we set a target for just attendance of some of those things that you find important to yourself? And that's another example of what could go into that category. And so, you know, we can help coach people through that and what that looks like. The second one is pretty easy. Family is the category. And so a lot of times people will have trips that they want to take with their family, a certain time they want to be home for dinner, you know, each night, a number of meals that they want to have with other family members outside their core family group.
Mm-hmm.
So that category is kind of self-explanatory and takes care of itself. Educational is another big one. People will say, well, I want to listen to so many podcasts each week, or I want to listen to a podcast about self-improvement, and then one, you know, and then one about my career, read a certain amount of books. So that comes up, and that category kind of takes care of itself. Here's the big one, John, you already mentioned it on the show without me even talking about it. And that's physical, right?
Yes.
Like the first one you had a good one, which was obviously going to the gym, right? So a lot of times we find that's why you've already started to see, I mean, how many freaking weight loss ads and, you know, and gym membership ads have I already been seeing, you know, in the last 3 weeks? Like, it's starting already. So physical is probably one of the easy one. People will put, you know, a certain percentage body fat that they want to lose, or certain pounds that they want to lose. So we've got physical in there. And then the last one that people tend to be really good at is financial as well. Now I say that because it's very measurable.
Yes.
Like when people have something that's measurable, they find it easier to set a goal around it.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that we talk about, people. An easy acronym for you to remember is what's called making all of these goals SMART goals.
Okay.
And that SMART acronym means, like, the best goal setters are, number one, making it specific. Okay. So, right, like, not that I want to be healthier. Like, that's a terrible goal.
It's kind of generic.
Don't soundbite me when you cut this and say that's a terrible goal to be healthier. But it's not specific, right? Like, what is healthier? Maybe a certain percentage of carbs or protein, etc. Number 2 is that goal measurable? So the M in SMART is measurable. Not run faster or lift more, but, you know, how much, you know, how much can my lifting go up? How much can my bench press go up?
Yes.
You know, how much faster can the mile time come down? Number 3, is it attainable? Like, can it be done? And people do struggle with this in SMART goals. And so you have to be careful, because you're not trying to, like, crush the dream of the person making it. But I'm pretty sure, like, John McKay, like, he missed his window to be in the NFL, and I missed my window to be in the NHL. So, like, that is not attainable. Like, that is not going on our goal list. Like, I'm going to tell you, McKay, probably not attainable. Are you okay?
No.
Are you okay? You look sad.
No, I'm just laughing because our son might have, if he'd really wanted to put down the horns and go for it, might have had a shot at long snapping in the CFL.
Right. Like, so, yeah.
The Canadian League, he and his training partner who went to Eastern Oregon, but they both said, no, one's going to become an engineer and a teacher. And, you know, I'm done. I played the football, got it out of. But it would have been like a free agent tryout.
But even if we were sitting down today, that's a great example. Because, like, if you and him were sitting in the room and I saw that come from both of your goal sheets, I might look at him and say, this is still attainable.
Yes.
I'm going to look at you
and say, no.
Say, let's reconsider. So
let's reconsider. So why don't settle for playing catch in the backyard?
I absolutely love it. So I love it when we look at attainable and can it be done? And then the same thing with, is it realistic? Like, are we making too big of changes or are we making small changes? And so, one of the great books that I always recommend for people about this, and I'd say in December is one of the best times to read this book, is Atomic Habits. If you have not read Atomic Habits, it is a great, great book to be reading this time of year before we go into January. And it talks about realistic, and that's like making small changes that add up and make a difference versus trying to make massive changes. And then the fifth part, we talked a little bit about this with accountability. But the T in SMART goals is timeline, and that is giving yourself a deadline. When is this going to be accomplished by?
Yes.
And so, in fact, we just finished strategic planning, like I said, in one of our companies. And so we operate on a system. I'm sure a lot of businesses use a system called EOS. And so with EOS, we have your goals are called ROCs, and those are set for the first quarter. And when those are set for the first quarter, that deadline and that timeline is 4-1, you know? And so we already have our company's strategic plan set for that first quarter, and we put a deadline with them, and it makes a huge, huge difference. So if you're doing that or have questions about that, I'd love to talk about this type of stuff. So if you're somebody or a business owner looking at using EOS and you haven't in the past, shoot me a message. I geek out on this stuff, so I'd love to talk about that as well. We're coming up on our first break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about goal setting and what that looks like for your real estate goals in, dare I say, 2025. Coming up.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Today, we've been talking about goal setting, strategic planning, setting the right goals. We've determined that John McKay and I are past our prime for pro sports as not attainable in the SMART acronym. And so, but what we can do is help a lot with real estate needs and what's going on out there in the market. Before I get to that, we always like to feature some new great inventory and listings that went on the market. So my pick three this week, pick number one, I'm going to take you over to Richland. This is in South Richland, Sagewood Meadows. It is a 3-bedroom, 2-bath Rambler that has had a ton of updates, newer roof and exterior paint, heat pump, gas water heater, and brand new LVP flooring. So they've gone through and just totally updated this house. Formal living room space, second living area with a gas fireplace. The kitchen, light and bright, has style and function, tile counters, a prep island, downdraft range, built-in oven, built-in microwave, great pantry, and all appliances stay here with this property. The primary suite is large, has a cozy window seat, plus a private bath with dual vanity, jetted tub, and separate shower. And this is all coming in South Richland at $469,900.
Wow.
Pick number two. This one is an awesome one that we put on the market. Historic home, 601 West Albany in Kennewick. This is a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 1740 square feet. Historic 1905 built. Over the years, this house has been updated with a newer roof, paint, plumbing, electrical, and HVAC. But it has all that character of a historic home. Classic brick fireplace. Lots of great ambiance for relaxing and entertaining. Kitchen has modern appliances, but alongside original cabinetry that is just absolutely gorgeous, with a rolling island and granite counters. And then the main bathroom is a true historical highlight because you've got that original clawfoot tub. In Ooh. Fact, when we put the pictures of this home online this week, we were actually contacted by a historic Instagram account that follows historic homes, and they have like 5 million followers. Well, they contacted us and then featured this property on that website. So it was really cool to see it kind of go national with the advertising. And we were super excited for the owners to get that exposure for them. That coming in priced at $360,000. Pick number three, 417 South Tweed in Kennewick. This is a 2-bed, 2-bath, 1355 square foot property. You've got two separate living spaces, each with its own fireplace, which it's getting chilly enough now. You'll appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Open kitchen, lots of counter space, plus a great pantry. Primary bedroom has an attached bath with dual vanity and a walk-in closet. And here's another great price point coming in at $355,900. So Ooh. We're still sitting about, inventory's back down a little bit, but we're still sitting at about 910 listings on the market. We expect that to happen a little bit this time of year. That's still a better number than we've had the last 3 years.
Yes.
And we saw a great relaxation in rates the last week. I actually saw 30-year hit 6.125 this last week. And then a 15-year mortgage, I saw get down to 5.5 this week. So when those numbers start happening, these properties, especially in this 355, 360 range, the payment structure on those become way more affordable in that situation. So one of the reasons that I love doing this show this time of year is because we talk about goal setting. We talk about setting smart goals. And then that's really relatable to people that have the goal of getting a property sold. Mm-hmm. We have been doing so many consultations lately for people that call and said, either, hey, my house didn't sell in the fourth quarter, or I've been, now that rates are coming back down, I've been thinking about taking advantage of that and selling in the spring, or maybe I should just sell right now. They don't know. Mm-hmm. And so we have, thank you also to the weather, John, because like relatively speaking, it can, knock on wood, I can say it can pretty much do whatever it wants to do at this point, because I think we've had like this 30 extra day gift.
Yeah.
Where, I can look up at Rattlesnake and there's some peak of white up there on a few mornings, but overall it's been really, really good for us. And so we've had like an extra window of real estate where people are like, Lance, what should we be doing? And the market's still very active right now with rates coming back down. So I always tell people, like, our big five, if we're putting a plan together to get your house sold, mm-hmm. and what we're doing a lot of right now, is number one, meet at the house. Like, we do need to physically take a look at it. So yes. Set up a meeting, set up an appointment, whether that, because things, there are things I told, on two of these last week, I told people, like, there's just things that we can't see on Google Earth, or, on with the satellite issues or with Street View.
Yeah.
Like, we can get a pretty good idea, but there's some things that I just can't see. What's the orientation of the house look like? What's the actual maintenance look like inside? And so number one, I say meet at the house. The second thing when we're setting up these smart goals with properties is let's look at your timeline. Like, when do you have to be at X? When do you have to make that move? When do you want to be, in your new house by spring break? Do you want to be moving spring break? What does the timeline look like? The the third thing that we have that we're dealing with right now and is nice to get ahead of is determining what condition changes can we make with relatively small amounts of work. So, you know, does trim need to be added? Do we need sheetrock repairs? Mm-hmm. Do we need paint done? And, you know, a great example of this, what I tell everybody is this time of year, no matter how determined you are, it's going to be more difficult.
Yes.
So if we can get ahead of that right now, like people take extra time off for the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
If we're talking about exterior paint, I mean, John, we were talking about exterior paint because we were laughing about coming over the Blue Bridge to do the show.
Yes.
Right? Like those guys, I think they are happy because they have not had snow or ice to deal with.
No, they haven't.
You know, in the last 30 days. But it's the same thing. Like, do you need to get the exterior of your house painted? Mm-hmm. And if you do, we only have certain windows that can be done. And
because you can't apply latex paint in temperatures they recommend 50 or higher.
It's not going to be great. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we have to wait or be ready for certain days to be able to get that done. So really determining what condition changes we have to have and then trying to make those condition changes. Fourth that I put down that we're doing right now is based upon where the market is right now, based upon where rates are, mm-hmm. we need to finalize pricing because that's the big thing is that net sheet is so important to people. What are the costs of selling? What are we predicted that our market price will be on based upon comps? And how much are we going to walk away with? So giving people that information and having a good idea of pricing, that is a huge, huge one. And so we're going on those consults right now. In fact, we're probably twice as busy as I thought we would be this time of year based upon what's been happening. And I feel that there is a wave of excitement in the market that people are taking that are starting to take advantage of right now. So
yes.
Set SMART goals for your real estate goals as well. And so that's our big takeaway. And I can guarantee we are ready. You know, we have set goals to serve more families next year than we have, you know, the previous year. We're a growth-minded company and we're constantly setting those goals. So if you've thought about turning a house into a rental and want to know what that rental analysis looks like, go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot us a message, and we'll get you hooked up with our property management division. Mm-hmm. If you're looking to buy and want to know what rates are doing for payments and what you can afford, same type of thing. And then I urge you, if you are going to be selling in the spring, getting a head start on that right now and getting some appointments booked for the next couple of weeks before it gets too busy with the holidays, or go ahead and pre-book into that first week of January after New Year's so we can help you get a look at that. KenMoreTeam.com is the best place to shoot those messages to, and we will get those distributed to the right department.
Yep.
And John, we will be right back here next week with, it's almost time for a Christmas surprise.
Ooh.
Let's do a Christmas surprise next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.